Let us trust him. Serve the Lord with joy. Let us read together a psalm before we pray. I would like to read Psalms 105. Let us stand up while we read this word of God.
O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham, and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, Unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When there were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land, he brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters, he was laid in iron, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. And he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. He turned their heart to hate his people, to deal subtly with his servants. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They shewed his signs among them, and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they rebelled not against his word. He turned their waters into blood and slew their fish. Their land brought forth frogs in abundance. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. He smote their vines also and their fig trees and brake the trees of their coasts. He spake, and the locusts came, and caterpillars, and that without number, and did eat up all the herbs in their land, and devoured the fruit of their ground. He smote also all the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. He spread a cloud for a covering, and fire to give light in the night. The people asked, and he brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river. For he remembered his holy promise, and Abraham his servant. And he brought forth his people with joy, and his chosen with gladness, and gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord. Let us pray. Faithful God, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts that also we can exalt your name, that we may praise your name, that we may sing praises to you, that we may play to you, that we may speak of your wonders, for you are a God who does wonders until our days. You didn't stop yet with your wonderful miracles, with all your wonderful deeds. We praise your wonderful name. We glorify you, Lord, for you are our God. You are our Lord. You have become everything to us. Yes, you are our strength. Lord, how should we not praise you? How should we not exalt your name, which is above every name? Lord, when people reject your name, but we, Lord, we exalt your name, for you are our God. We praise you and we give you the glory. We ask you for your blessing. May you be with us also in these hours, in these days, Lord. Bless us, Lord, is our prayer and our supplication. Take everything from us what is disturbing. May every heart, Lord, be open to receive your word and to believe it and to give you the glory and the thanks for it. Praise be to your wonderful and glorious name of Jesus. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come into your holy presence in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Faithful Lord, we want that you speak with us and that also that we may speak with you. Lord, purify the hands, hearts and lips. Purify the thoughts and everything what cannot stand its ground before you. We ask you, faithful Savior, be merciful to us as you promised it and as you also proved it many times. Lord, as my precious brother prayed, take everything from us and from this building. Take it away. Take every thought away which comes from the enemy and give us the clear leading of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we would like to see you, hear you, experience you. May nobody from this service go from here as he came in. Let us anew recognize and let us be aware of that we deal with you, the Holy God, with whom we not stand on one level. You are holy, and we ask you, Lord, sanctify us through your presence, through your word. Purify us through the shed blood of the Lamb. Lord, let a time period come to its end, and let a new start for the glory and for the praise of your name. Take us all captive under the obedience of your will, and give us grace that we could submit to every word. For you won't let us through. Lord, I don't want to have just preached. I want to see all in glory who have heard your word in this time. Faithful Lord, be thou present. Give us grace to hear you and to see you. Blessed and praised be your holy name. Amen. You may be seated. We have all read the psalm. We heard it. Every word which we read speaks to us. The question is only whether we can apply it to our time, to our situation. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and that it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. When we read the word of God, whether in the Psalms, whether in the prophets, whether in the Old or in the New Testament, we meet always the same God who has spoken and worked in the same way. With God, not even the slightest thing changes. It cannot be, because he himself does not change, so his word also remains unchangeable. If we have already read the psalm about the history of Israel, and I mentioned it in the circular letter which will be published in December, that God walks with his servants and with his people completely incomprehensible ways. If a man already reasons naturally, then he can already start and ask, why did God allow the fall of man at all? You can apply the word why from the beginning to the end, and you have at the end no answer. So, not why, but recognizing what God planned with us and what He planned with others who lived before us, and in what kind of way He carries out His program, His plan of salvation, goal-orientated. If one reads of Joseph, who is shown in the Bible as the most perfect example among the prophets, he was not even asked. I mentioned this in it, and this really touches me. No one of these men of God was asked whether he wants to walk this way which he had to walk. A Joseph was not asked whether he would like to be thrown into the pit or not, whether he should be sold to Egypt or not, whether he would like to go into prison or not. He had to endure everything. One humiliation after another, one accusation after another, as if there was no tomorrow. And outwardly one could have asked, why must God walk such ways with His servants? And then there's written somewhere the sentence, perhaps in this psalm, I didn't hear it completely because I was late, but somewhere it says, God did send him before to preserve the life of the people of Israel during the time of famine. Everything ran according to plan. He came to Egypt, then he became the boss and he filled the granary. The harvest was so plentiful that there was enough, and suddenly there came the famine. And as already said, there's written this simple verse, God sent him before. But through so much trouble, through so much despisement, through so much misunderstanding, so that he was totally abandoned. And here comes now our question. Does it have to be that way? Yes, it has to be. This is the way of God. And if the Lord had not gone this way himself, then we might have been allowed to criticize his behavior with his servants. Maybe also not. Our Lord walked, however, the same way. His appearance was no more as the children of men. There was no humiliation. He was spared. They spat him into his face. They blindfolded him and they struck him. And they said, prophesy who it was that smote thee. It were ways of humiliation which servants of God had to walk, so that the Lord and no man is glorified. God does not give his glory to another. And if it just serves for it, that the glory is only to him, then everything was worth it, or not? if one reads the 42 chapters about Job with all the arguments and his sitting upon the ash heap, and if it would not be written at the end that the Lord restored, that he then checked if everything is fine, and that at the end it always came out well. This one may say, the people say of a movie, I never watched a movie in my life, but the people always speak of the happy end, that somehow the end will always be good, no matter what happens in between. Whether this applies, I don't know. With God it applies. No matter how the ways of his servants or the leadings of his people were, the end was always according to the divine determination, and all who walked on the ways of God, them we will see again in glory. And that this is so, we know, of course. Then we don't have to marvel if we have to go through some kind of trouble. I have, while I wrote the circular letter, it's very fresh in my heart, in my mind, I had to think about all false prophets were left in peace. Who had to give his blood? Of Abel up to Zacharias. The prophets were murdered. Of what was it all about? Was it about Isaiah? Did he commit a crime? Or some other prophet? It was about one single thing. These men were carriers of the word of God. They had to bring the will of God through the word of God to mankind. And Satan had only one intention, namely to foil the will of God and to make the plan of God impossible. And so he killed one after the other, or let him be killed. But one was never killed, namely the word of God, which came to these prophets and men of God. The word has stayed with us. And about this word it is about today, more than ever before. And also this I expressed there. If we would open ourselves to the various interpretations, then the devil would leave us alone. Then we would be well off. Nobody would speak about us. The devil would have achieved what he wanted. And he would be the conductor here. And all of us, we could sing happily. But God has not intended us for that. There are people who stay on this earth, and to them we may belong, who from the beginning were ordained as the divine seed to receive the word of God and to close oneself to everything else. As Jesus Christ, our Lord, was the pure word seed, so we, if we want to be his church, must be the pure word seed.
and we will deal with this topic longer, because that's basically what matters now, that the church gets a purified heart so that the pure seed is not again mixed and brings forth hybrids, but that now at the end the pure divine seed of the revealed word, unmixed, but also can be laid in pure hearts. Of what use is the best seed if the field is not prepared properly, if it's not purified and cleansed of everything, if not truly the conditions have been prepared for it? And I think the Lord does both. He does both at His time. He has the people who give Him all their heart, and He has the message which is received by these people. And here we could go to Abraham and to all the prophets, up to Mary, when the message came to her, "The Lord is with thee," and you found grace before God. And the announcement was that Christ shall be born. And how did it happen? By speaking out the promise of the Word of God for that time, and that it was received, and by this the Word became flesh. We will still speak about these things, but they are really of the greatest importance. No mixture anymore, but really only the pure Word of God, pure Spirit of God, pure hearts, which do not become a den of thieves, but which by the grace of God are kept. It's really like this, that in the days of the Lord, when He walked this earth, there were enough people who were just outwardly, and their heart was a den of thieves. God seeks people after His heart, to whom He can speak, who have no own opinion anymore, and who do not interpret His word any longer, but who begin there where He starts and stop where He has stopped, letting Him alone have the word and receive what He has spoken. For the word has, of course, the creation power in itself to bring forth what was promised in it. In the moment when Mary heard the announcement, "You found grace with God and you will become mother of a son," she of course cried out, "How shall this happen? I don't know of any man." The same we must also be able to say, "I know of no man." And what does Paul write to the Corinthians? "Are you not carnal? For one says, I am of Paul, and the other, I am of Peter. He says, what are you up to? You are carnally minded. And if we transfer this to our time, making the comparison, what kind of register can here be listed and written down? The bride of the Lamb, the church of the living God, will not have to say anything anymore of a man or want to receive something from him, but to hear the clear and pure word of God. And the Spirit will come upon all who do not know anything of a man, who only receive the word of promise of God for this time. And upon them the Spirit of God will come, and in them will be brought forth what God has promised through his word. For me, the matter is actually clear. God has pulled us away from the mouth of all men and let us know, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth from the mouth of God. He lets us know that every man is a liar, and that God alone is true. And if we understood this, that we were pulled away from the human teachings to be available for God, why should we then again sit at the feet of some man? Like in India, they sit before a guru dressed in a silken garment and has to say some things. No, all these times are over, whether you believe me now or not. But the enthusiasm about a man who suddenly comes up with a new teaching or a new revelation, this enthusiasm will anyhow come to its end with the year 1984. There won't be anything left. The people who made predictions and set a time and date will stand there as fools. God has not appointed us to set times or seasons, but to recognize the time in which we live and to believe the message, so that his word can accomplish in us for what it was sent for. Here, in this case, concerning the people of Israel, it was Joseph whom God led on strange ways. In the prophet Isaiah, in chapter 11, we read in verse 2, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. But again, this is not given to a man. There is no man who can judge? He himself must wait that God judges and evaluates. We cannot even evaluate ourselves, leave alone others, when we don't even know his situation or the circumstances. Our Lord judges not after what is heard with the ears or seen with the eyes, but in righteousness, in truth, in honesty and faithfulness. And so we know that we, with his judging, we will not miss out, for in him all the meek seek refuge, and all who cannot help themselves, they may come to the Lord. There are people who have been believers by themselves as long as they are alive, but there are also such who come to the Lord with all their heart and say, "Here am I. Take me as I am." Beloved, let us summarize from tonight. God sends his messengers, leads them on strange ways which are incomprehensible, that one could pity them and feel sorry for them, and saying, "Why does it all have to be like this?" I don't know whether Joseph murmured one single time, whether he a single time was threatening, whether a single time he was unwilling or had an anger against his brothers. He was thrown into the pit, and as he fell there, that's how he was lying there, and he trusted in his God. And as he was taken out from it, so he moved on his way. He has not, at least it's not written in the Bible, that he quarreled with God or with the people. He knew in his most inside that God has a high purpose in everything, and this gave him enough strength to remain quiet down there, not making a fist, and not to think, "When I come out here, then I will pay you back." He came out and went to Egypt. God has laid everything in such a way. And whether we want to admit it or not, even with our Lord, it had to be this way, that the Jews rejected him then, so that we from the nations could be brought in. For thus it was already foretold through Isaiah and through Hosea and through the prophets, that those who are not my people, they shall be called the sons of the living God. All these scriptures had to be fulfilled. Today we could waste time with the Jews and ask, "Why have you done this?" And about all the other times also, perhaps even about our time, and ask, "Why does it all have to be like that?" At the end, we will see it clearly. And even it had no other purpose than one, and this is the highest and the greatest, that God makes an end to all mixing, and by this has laid the foundation for a new beginning. If this was in the plan of God like this, why should we rebel against it? After all, you are not in the shoes of a Joseph or in the shoes of some of the other men who had to walk on strange ways, and therefore you can be satisfied. Our God has a wonderful plan, and this plan He carries out, and it may seem to us as absurd as it wants to be. With God, everything makes sense, and everything is in conformity with one another. All of the prophecies for the last time, everything must of course be fulfilled. This we said many times, and therefore we rest in God. We rest in His Word. Whether we are thrown into the lion's den or into the pit, whether this or that, everything is temporary. In the end, God will prove Himself in a glorious way. And no one who has put his trust in Him was put to shame. And it is not written, look at their beginning or their middle, but look at their end, the end. That's what's all about. Many made a good beginning. This cannot be disputed. The good beginning doesn't help anyone if the end is not good. And with God, it will be good. All the cockiness, all self-confidence, all self-assurance, everything was taken away from us. We depend on God and can trust Him alone, and therein will our inner strength be, that we did not have the confidence in us, but in the Lord who has spoken with us. He doesn't judge after what ears hear or what eyes see, but He judges with justice and righteousness, and His own He judges based on what happened on the cross of Calvary, namely that they were judged already with Christ and in Christ, that we were crucified with Him, that we suffered with Him, died with Him, buried with Him, risen with Him, by the grace of our God. The way of the redeemed is the same way as the way of the Redeemer. And this we will still emphasize. This is the point that is important now. The Redeemer came into a virgin-like bosom. The Word of promise became flesh. The Spirit brought it forth unto life. The same will be with the Church of the Living God now at the end. Otherwise, the restoration is not justified, not even the Word, let alone what is connected with it. Unless God's Word and God's message accomplished that in you and me and in all the people of God, for what it was sent for. And as then the word was sent, so that our Redeemer could be born, so now the word was sent, so that we as the redeemed can really be born. You all know, the bride is born out from the church. The seed is laid into the church, but that what will be born of her, this is the divine seed. And it will be manifested that all who are of God, they will hear and believe nothing else but only the thus saith the Lord of the word of God. And I'm fully convinced that God has meant it so, to bring us back to this original word as the divine seed, so that a divine harvest, not a mixing, but a divine harvest can be brought in this last time. God will give grace to it, and at the end we may then look back and say, Lord, all your ways were wonderful. I would like to walk them once more, if I just reach the destination. And this God will do with all of us. We will see his face, because we believed him and his word fully. And may God anchor this so deeply in us, and that there would be an alarm system in us. If somebody says something which is not in conformity with the word of God, that immediately this warning tone is heard. May God give it to us by his grace. He can do it, and he will also keep us blessed and praised. Be his wonderful name. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, with all my heart I thank you for your precious and holy word. Faithful God, who are we that we may be gathered here in your presence? Faithful Lord, we see and hear no one but Jesus alone. We thank you for all the prophets, for all the apostles, for all the servants of God. But on the Mount of Transfiguration, in your presence, when we are veiled into your glory, then we see and hear only you. Hallelujah. To you, the precious Lamb of God, that invested so much to redeem us, and now to take us out from all error, to separate us, and to make us available for you, because you plan something special with us. Lord, may shortly, among you people be no more said, have you heard already what brother so and so, Lord, make an end to all these sayings, O God, that we just have one testimony, and this is the testimony of Jesus. And the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Faithful Lord, we have been placed into this prophecy. We take part in this process in the plan of salvation. And for this, we thank you, O God, Lord, not only because we say it with words, but because it is so. You revealed your word unto us. You made known unto us your plan. You let us know your mysteries. And we may also confess, you kept us, so that we did not deviate from your way and from your word. Faithful Lord, your word is meant for your people, and your people for your word. Help us that we recognize this until the last consequence, and that we endure it, that we act accordingly for the glory and for the praise of your name. Faithful God, my heart is touched and deeply moved to thank you for everything what you have done until now. In our country, in the neighboring countries, in Europe, in Asia, in Africa, on all the five continents, you have spoken, you have let your word go forth, and have given us grace to have a part in the spreading of the word and in the giving out of the spiritual food. Lord, this humiliates us into the dust before you. You would have found among the millions of people enough who would have been ready to go. Lord, you also did not ask us. You commanded with a loud voice. And you said, I will send you to other cities to preach my word. Hallelujah. Thank you, faithful Lord. May never something come over my lips in the proclamation unless it is your holy word which went forth from your throne and that will stand its ground before you. Bless our precious visitor from Sicily. Bless our beloved brother Molura. Also he went through some kind of heartbreak, through some kind of misunderstandings. Now you brought him here. Comfort him, strengthen him, raise him up, and use him for others.
Yes, bless him and make him a blessing. Faithful God, the same do with all of us by your grace. Lord, I thank you for every brother, for every sister, for all who have dedicated their life to you. O God, the time is running out. Your last speaking was made known to your people and to mankind. Lord, we ask you, may you call out some more, and should tonight be somebody in our midst who is still fighting an inner battle, O Lord, who did not yet get the answer from you. Faithful God, do it now. Give the answer that all have assurance that we are not in a human program here, but that we were placed into the plan of God. O God, may everybody, from the first to the last, receive it as a divine revelation in his heart, that you have led it in such a way, that you wanted it this way. We put ourselves at your disposal. Take us and bless us from the riches of your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Praise and thanks be unto the Lord for his precious and holy word. We know heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word remains forever. And we are grateful for every word. As it was said already, wherever we read, and we are happy that we may read it, that we may have it in these last days. Perhaps we come to the close now. Let us sing together a song. Perhaps we sing when the eternal morning breaks forth and time shall be no more. 544. 544. Let us sing it by faith, out of conviction, prayerfully.
Thank you.
Let us stand up for a closing prayer. Faithful God, we thank you once again together for your grace, for your faithfulness. And we know, Lord, only by your grace we will be there. Not out of merit, Lord. No, because you loved us. You have spoken to us. You have shown us your word. And we may believe your word. We may lean on it. And we know it is true. Joseph, he was fastened in stocks. He waited until the promise was fulfilled. And then he was set free. Then he became the prince, the boss. Lord, even we sometimes are like paralyzed or like fastened in stocks, but the moment comes where you will take us to yourself. Oh, glory to your name. Lord, we are waiting for this morning, the eternal morning when it shall break forth. Worship and honor to you, Lord. We know it will come as this day came, Lord. For your word is reliable and sure. And what you have said, this you also fulfill. In those days, your servants, also Moses and Joseph and all the others, they had to go through some kind of things. But they knew one thing, the moment comes where the end will be crowned. Lord, we know the moment comes where also our end will be crowned if we persevered with you and your word. Worship to your wonderful name. Be now with us, Lord, as we depart. Keep your protecting hands over us also in this night, and bring us together tomorrow again so that we can praise your name, paying attention to what you have to say to us through your precious and holy word. To your name be the glory. Amen. Amen. May the Lord and his grace be with you.